Today's shiur will be beginning at the bottom of Daf Mem Ches Omid Beis in Maseches Bava Basra. We recommend the printing out of the Dapim, and better yet, ordering your volume of the Shas Ozer. The last time we were involved with a teaching of Rav Huna that indicated a document of Modah that's signed is successful in being mevatel a sale document, or stated more briefly, a Modah is mevatel the mechira. The Gemara is going to be ending on that point here at the bottom of Mem Ches Amud Beis. But as we get into the Gemara, we're going to notice pretty much immediately a short bracketed section. We're going to initially skip that because that bracketed section is not part of the essential discussion. However, later the Gemara will deal with it. The Gemara asks, Amy, is it so that the Modah is Mevatel the Mechira, Ve'omar Rav Nachman, Ho'edim She'omru Modah Hoyu Dvorenu, Ein Ne'emonim. If witnesses that appeared on a document of sale claim that the sale was done under duress, namely that the seller expressed his disinterest in the sale from taking place, ein ne'emonim, such witnesses are not believed. Let's take a look at the Rashbam's explanation at the bottom of Mem Ches Omid Beis. V'homa Rav Nachman, v'hochonami Rabo Bar Bar Chano, komasid achshov al ha'ashkalto, modo hoyu dvorenu. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana is the same one who signed the document of sale, and he had signed a document of disavowal, the Modah, and according to Rav Nachman's teaching, witnesses that say that the sale that they concluded was a sale with a Modah, they're not to be believed. The section that's in brackets, as we said, is not part of the essential question right now, but for the sake of completion, let's just make note of it. The first halacha of Rav Nachman is witnesses who said, Amona hoyu dvorenu, ein ne'emonim. If one finds a document indicating a loan took place, and the witnesses that signed the shtar halva claimed that the halva never really took place. It was a document prepared in anticipation of a loan taking place. It was simply signed with good intentions, namely that the lender would not collect with the document until the actual loan took place. But in the meantime, no loan has actually been extended. That is a shtar amona. It's a shtar written with imun, under good faith, that the lender wouldn't collect prematurely. Nevertheless, witnesses who claim that a shtar halva was a shtar amona, they're not believed. And the shtar halva is considered a full-fledged document indicating a loan took place. So how are we to resolve this with Rav Huna's teaching? The Gemara answers, Hani Mili, that Rav Nachman's halacha, Rav Nachman's teaching that the witnesses are not believed to claim that the document of sale was really done b'modo'o, done with disavowal. That's al peh. That's when there is no document indicating that the seller expressed his disapproval or his disinterest. And the rule accompanying this is, delo osi al peh umeira lishtora, that oral testimony cannot undo that which is in a document. Hence, if you have a document indicating a sale took place, and witnesses come along orally telling us a story that, oh, this sale was done with a moda'a in mind, then they're not accepted. Their testimony is not believed. Avol bishtara. However, if a document is produced where they signed their testimony indicating that there had been an expressed moda'a, osi shtara umera lishtara. The moda'a shtar comes and weakens the document of sale, rendering it void. Gufa. Now the Gemara is going to revert to Rav Nachman's teaching on its own, not in the context of Rav Huna. Hence, the Gemara introduces this by the term Gufa. Omar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is indicated with a Roman numeral number 1. This is because another Shita, Mar Bravashi, you can see, appears with a Roman numeral number 2 shortly afterwards. Rav Nachman says, Amona hoyu dvorenu, if witnesses say that the document was prepared in good faith, namely the loan hadn't actually taken place yet, ein ne'emonim, their testimony is not acceptable, and the shtar havo is considered a binding shtar. Moido hoyu dvorenu, ein ne'emonim, and likewise, if they say the sale that we have a shtar indicating took place, the sale was done under disinterest on the part of the seller, namely he voided the sale previously, they're not believed, and the document of sale is binding. Mor Barav Ashi Omar, Amona Hoyud Vorenu Ein Nemonim, as far as the issue of Shtar Amona is concerned, he is in agreement with Rav Nachman. Moido hoyu dvorenu ne'emonim. This, you can see, is a point of difference. Hence, you notice the dashed underline under ne'emonim. According to Marbara of Ashi, witnesses who tell us that the document of sale was voided by the seller beforehand, they are believed. My taimo, why this distinction? Answer, shezeh nitan likosev, a shtar modo is a shtar that is a legitimate thing, the legitimate type of document to have prepared. Vezeh lo nitan likosev, however, a shtar amona is unacceptable. We do not approve of having documents of loan prepared before the loan takes place, only in anticipation of it taking place. The Gemara on Daf Mem Tes Omed Aleph in Bofa Basra continues. V'loy le'ish chazoka benichse ishto. The Mishnah had taught that a husband does not gain a chazoka on the property of his wife. So the Gemara questions, what need is there for the Mishnah to have taught this? Pshita, kevon de'is le' lepira, since a husband has usufruct rights, fruit use rights, pira hu de ka'ochil, he was consuming the peros. He might be consuming the peros for all the years of their marriage, many more than 3 years. That certainly doesn't gain him a chazoka on the property. The woman certainly isn't going to protest her husband using the property with the rights that he legitimately has. So the question is, what do I need the Mishnah to teach me that which is obvious? Answer, lo tzricha, I need the Mishnah under the following circumstances. De kosav law, he had written to his wife the following: Din udvorim ein li b'nechasayach. I remove myself from rights to your properties. So, if we have a husband that had removed himself from rights to her properties, and then we find him using those same properties and she remains quiet, so I would have thought that he could gain a chazakah. Comes along the Mishnah to tell me that even so, even though he had written din udvorim ein li b'nechasayach, he does not gain chazakah on her properties. The Gemara asks, but still, the Mishnah is seemingly superfluous, because the expression of din udvorim ein li b'nechasayach really has no meaning. And if it has no meaning, so we go back to square one, where, of course, a husband doesn't have chazaka on his wife's properties. V'chi kosav lo, and even if he writes this expression, din udvorim ein li b'nechasayach, my havi, so what? V'hot tanya, we have the following Tanaic source, and when one is using the Gemara marking edition, the Shas Ozer, framed sections are of a Tanaic nature. And here the Gemara brings a brisa to illustrate this point, that the din udvorim expression has no real meaning. Ha'oimer l'chavero, din udvorim ein li al sodezu, the ein li esek bo, the yodai mesulokos mimeno. Any of these expressions that a person who may have held a piece of property in partnership with his friend, and then one day he says one of these expressions that he doesn't have anything to do with the property, or he has no asek ba, he has no dealings with it, or his hands are removed from it. Lo omar klum, the source concludes. He hasn't said anything. And if a person wants to disconnect himself from something that he held in partnership, he'd have to make a formal kinyan, a formal gesture. But just these statements, they are not effective. So once again, the question comes back. Pshita, the Mishnah's teaching seems to be obvious. Amri lo debe Rabbi Yanai masnisin. The case of the Mishnah is where the husband wrote the expression of din udvorim before he actually entered the state of nisuin to her, before he actually gained the rights to the peros. Masnisin bekoisev lo v'oido arusa. He wrote the expression of din udvorim ein li b'nechasayach at that point. That's a point before he is zoiche to the peros. Peros one gets at the point of nisuin. So if one wrote this before he gained rights to it, it's not like the case of people who are partners in something where one of them wanted to retract or disengage from the partnership. That's a situation where he had full holding on it. Hence, you need a kinyan to remove yourself from it, as opposed to a case where you haven't gained rights to the item. This expression would be effective. And the basis of this particular teaching is now going to be explained in the Gemara. But before we go on in the Gemara, let us take advantage of the markings that we're about to see. We have a diamond appears. On the side, you have a mivneh explanation, the structural explanation. These diamonds are markivim, shlavim, elements and stages. V'hasbir achidush shamas nisin. To explain what the real novel teaching, the purpose of our Mishnah is, deha de'ein labal chazoka benichse ishto, that which the Mishnah teaches that a husband doesn't gain a chazoka in his wife's properties. Medubar b'dekosavlo din udvorim ein li b'nechasayach u'b'dekosavlo v'oida arusa. He's disconnecting himself from her properties at a point that the disconnection has legal meaning. So if the husband is, in fact, disconnected from her properties, and he's using her properties for a period of 3 years, and she keeps quiet, I might have thought that he gains a chazaka, because he was previously disconnected from it. He wasn't using it leperos. The Mishnah comes along and then teaches us, even so, even though he was disconnected on a formal basis, nevertheless, the woman will remain quiet upon her husband's use of the properties. So we're now going to continue in the Gemara itself, seeing this point of Koisev Lo V'Oida Arusa explained. Uchidarav Kahana, that the teaching that a person can remove himself from something through this expression of Dinu Dvorim, Ein Li Bin Chosayim, works. The Omar Rav Kahana, Nachlo Habo Loi V'Odom Mimokoim Acher, rights, property rights that a person gains from some outside source that he is going to gain in the future. Masne Roshana. A person can make a condition, can make a t'nai, that he should not get it, should not gain those rights. He shouldn't gain those future rights. Uchid Rava, and according to Rava as well, what kind of nachla are we talking about? The Omar Rava, Kol Ha'omeri Efshi B'Takonas Chachomim, anyone who says that I don't want this benefit that the Chachomim established for me, Kegoin Zois Shoymin Lo, and Kegoin Zois, like something that we will see shortly, something like we will see shortly, we will listen to him. My Kegoin Zois, what is intended by the expression Kegoin Zois that the Gemara just referenced? Kidarav Huna Omar Rav, Diomarav Huna Omar Rav, Yechoilo Isha Shetoymer Labala. A woman can tell her husband, Eini Nizoinus V'Eini Oisa, that I am forswearing your need to support me, and in exchange for my forswearing your support, I also am not going to work for you. In other words, income that I gain from my activities, I am not going to transfer to you. So in so many words, what have we seen? We've seen the teaching of Rav, that a woman can forswear, can avoid an institution that was designed to benefit her, namely husband support. She can forswear that because it's a rabbinic institution. She can say, I don't want it. Similarly, the rights that a person has to his wife's fields before he actually gains possession of those rights, he can say, I don't want it. Dinu dvorim ainli, and it will have meaning. And all of this was said to bring out the chiddush of the Gemara, that even though the husband had removed himself from his wife's properties, if he continues to use it, one might have thought he would gain a chazaka on the properties. The Mishnah therefore informs us that even so, the wife will not protest her husband's use of the properties. At this point in the Gemara, you notice a slash. This indicates that we're about to start a new train of thought. Before we go on, let us take advantage of the topic heading that you notice on the outside of your Gemara page, the Nosei, and we also indicate that this is a long Nosei. It goes till Nun Omid Beis. So as far as our shiur for today, we'll only be able to start the topic. What have we noted on the side? So we read, Lefi Diuk Mi Mishnasenu, by inference from our Mishnah, Mashma Da'al Yedei Raya Kegon Shtar Mechira, that if there were a document of sale, a source of proof, Nichse Ishto Yu Shel Baila, that even though the Mishnah said a person doesn't get a chazoka on nichsei ishto, his wife's properties, if he holds a document of sale that his wife sold him the properties will be shel baila, her husband's. V'alze makshe ha-gemora, the Gemara is going to raise a question on that, namely the inference that a shtar mechira that a husband holds would be a good shtar. Tamo, the woman could have said a claim to rebuff the legitimacy of the shtar and say, Nachas ruach osisi lebaili, that I was simply trying to make him feel good. I was trying to avoid controversy, family controversy. V'ein bashtar hoichocho shegomra bedaito limkor lo. And the shtar that she sold wasn't a shtar with sale intent. It was a shtar simply to make him feel good that he shouldn't raise Cain in the house. Let us take a look now in the Gemara. Ha, raya, yesh. Are we to assume that if he had a shtar mechir, that even though a man doesn't have a chazaka b'nichsei ishto, but a raya he could have? Tema, couldn't she say, Nachas ruach osisi lebaili? That I was trying to simply, by agreeing to the sale, to simply make him feel good. Milo tana, don't we have a teaching that indicates such a claim can be made? Before we continue in the Gemara, it's noteworthy that a person, a man's properties, are duty bound to his wife, in the sense that a woman, when she gets married, there's a financial guarantee that a woman has known as ksuba, that in the event that the marriage breaks up, either through divorce or through death, she gets a ksuba. She gets money or properties from her husband. And kol zman, that the husband and wife are together, his properties are, there's a sense of a lien that exists on his properties toward that particular payment. The source that we're about to learn describes a case of a fellow coming and buying some property from a man, and then having the wife of the seller second that motion by her agreeing to the sale as well. The source will teach us that the sale is void. It has the mekach is botel, namely that the woman agreed to the sale. Her agreeing to the sale, the Rashbam points out, that agreement to the sale is considered void. It's a non-agreement. Let us see this inside. Milo tnan lokach min ha'ish, v'chozar v'lokach min ha'isha. A man came and bought some property from a man. And we said before that a man's properties are meshuba. There's a lien on all of his properties toward the benefit of the ksuba. V'chozar v'lokach min ha'isha. And that same buyer bought the property, so to speak, from the wife, namely, she seconded the motion. She agreed to the sale. Mekhoi botel. We say that her agreement to it is void. Alma, what's the basis of her agreement to the sale being considered void? Because if she would have objected to her husband's sale, what would have been then? It would have been a fight in the house. The husband say, well, you know, why are you trying to oppose my sales of the property? You're thinking that that I'm going to divorce you and that you want to be guaranteed your ksuba? Is that what's bothering you? Anyway, we're saying here that the woman agreeing to the sale is void because otherwise there would have been a fight. Alma Omra, she can claim that why did she agree to the sale that her husband had concluded with this buyer? Nachas ruach asis lebaili. I was just trying to make him feel good, make my husband feel good. But I didn't really agree. Hochonami, So too in our case, where a husband produces a raya that the wife sold him the property, Tema, let her respond, Nachas ruach, osisi labayli. I was just trying to make him feel good, but I didn't really part with my from my property. The Gemara answers, Ha itmar Allah. Concerning the teaching that we saw above, that when a person bought from a man and then turned to the woman and she seconded the motion, and the teaching said that the mekach was botel, that is true, but it's limited. That the mekach is botel, that the sale is void, is limited to what's called three sodos. Omar Rabo Bar Ravhuna, Lo Nitzrcha, the teaching that mekho botel is based on this claim that I was just trying to make him feel good, is limited to Lo Nitzrcha, Lo Boison Gimel Sodois. And they are Achas Shekosav Lo Bigsubosa, the Achas Sheyiched Lo Bigsubosa, the Achas Sheichnisa Loi Shum Mishelo. Very specific properties. Concerning them, we say that she was just trying to make him feel good. But other than that, the sale would be considered a full-fledged sale. What are these exceptional cases that we say mekhoi botel based on the claim of nachas ruach asisi labayli? So the first one was achas shekosav lo b'ksubasa. That's a property that he indicated to her, this property will be for your ksuba. That even though all of a man's properties are bound to the ksuba, when he specifies a specific field, she becomes mentally attached to that field. She has smichas das in getting that field. And that kind of field, she'll really object to having been sold to someone else, and if she is party to such a sale, then she'll simply say, I was just trying to make my husband feel good. This you can see in the Rashbam at the bottom, Achas Shekosav Lo B'Ksubosa Kloimar, Achas Min Gimel Sodos Hu Soda Sheshibed Lo B'Feirush, that he denoted it specifically, V'Hizkira Hu Soda B'Shtar HaKsuba Sheshibed Lo, and he even recorded in the marriage document that this particular field is bound to her. And she has hopes and reliance upon that more than his other properties. However, it's to be noted that all of his property is bound to her. In the original Ksuba text, it says, Kol nechosai achroin l'ksubosech, that all of my properties are bound to the ksuba. Miu lo hizkir v'lo siim mikulam beferush b'toch shtar ksuba ki'im ze levado. But as far as specifying properties, only this particular field he specified. Hence, this is one of those types of properties that she could claim nachas ruach asisi labayli, and that a sale over which would not be considered with her genuine approval. And the other examples, v'achas shiyichei lo b'ksubasa, he didn't write it into the shtar, but after they were married, he designated it and said to her that if I don't pay with cash, then you'll get this particular field. And the third example is the field shiichnisa lo shum mishalah. These are properties that she brought into the marriage, and they were evaluated. That the word shum refers to an evaluation, and they wrote in how much they were worth, and the husband accepts upon himself to guarantee their value in the case that their marriage is broken up. They're called nichsei tzon barzel. So those properties, she has no intention to agree to their sale. With that particular point, we will conclude for today, but bearing in mind that we are in the middle of a discussion.